Last evening, as we waited for guests to arrive, we heard the choir of coyotes erupt in the marsh below. Their howling begins like geysers, abrupt and for no apparent reason, all at once and in full voice. It can go on for several minutes and then stop just as abruptly and mysteriously. It's like some sudden, full-blown hysteria, the way kids will suddenly be set off into fits of wild, hysterical screaming and giggles by something undetectable to adults, something even they were not aware possessed them until it did. The song of the coyotes came out at dusk, when Clemmy and her friends were still playing outside across the street. The children's screams and laughter blended and braided with the yelps and full-throated bayings of the coyotes, as if they sensed some half-conscious connection between them. The sounds of pre-adolescence and suburban yards mixing with those of recently arrived wild animals, animals who ask no leave to share our neighborhoods, apply for no occupancy permits, sign no covenants, meet no codes, pay no taxes. As I've said before, the wild doesn't care whether we believe in it or not, it just keeps on being wild. And now, nearly 400 years after the Pilgrims landed on our shores, we have once again become William Bradford's howling wilderness. Of such things are Puritanism and witch hunts born. I remember a decade or so ago when a citizens' group was formed in the Mid-Cape area calling for control of coyotes. "We don't want to eliminate them completely," said one citizen, "but why do you have to go out like Rambo to walk your dog?" "Our cats were part of our family," pleaded another who had lost them to coyotes. Naturalists reply that cats and other pets let outside without restraint become part of the food chain. Those questioning the coyotes' increasing presence assert that, unless they are taught a lesson, they will become more emboldened and perhaps threaten children. Those who defend the rights of coyotes to be here assert with equal conviction that these wild predators avoid humans and that limited food supplies will naturally control their population over time. It's survival of the fittest versus the balance of nature all over again. Warring metaphors. All wilderness is relative and is often equated with rarity. Once I read of Montana writer Rick Bass exulting in his ultimate wild sighting of a caribou on his home turf. Caribou. I had to laugh. This is the same animal that is so numerous in Newfoundland that lighthouse keepers have to sweep them away from their doorsteps. It was the same laughter I heard from friends in Vermont when I told them of the fuss we made over our Cape Cod bear earlier this year. For me, the wild is what engenders in us a sense of threat. Threat to safety, to the known, to stability, to our possessions, to our sense of entitlement to the land. In that sense, the Cape has been made more wild by coyotes, as our ocean beaches have recently been made more wild by great white sharks. They've made us more cautious, made us feel less safe, challenge our right of possession, pop up out of nowhere, gobble up our pets, howl their bacchanalian revelry, and then sink back down out of sight again into the moist thickets of swamp and marsh where we cannot follow them. And we call our children in from the night.